Hey, I'd like to welcome you to another episode of Mission Matters. My name is Adam Torres, and if you'd like to apply to be a guest on the show, just head on over to missionmatters.com and click on Be Our Guest to Apply. All right, today I have Yasser Ali on the line. He's founder of Polymer. Yasser, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thanks so much for having me, Adam.
All right, Yasser. So a lot of business owners, entrepreneurs, and executives listen to this show, and they're always looking for tips and insight to things that are going to help them on their path as entrepreneurs and executives. And I'm excited to have you on the line. So we'll talk about data loss prevention and really the work that you're doing over at Polymer. But to get us kicked off, we'll start this episode the way that we start them all with our Mission Matters Minute. So Yasser, we at Mission Matters, we amplify stories for entrepreneurs, executives, and experts. That's our mission. Yasser, what mission matters to you?
Making it safe for users and companies to use cloud-hosted applications and prevent their employees from leaking company information outside of defined parameters. We are essentially trying to protect company sensitive data, confidential data, because I ran into this issue from a prior life in finance. I used to be on Wall Street as a bond trader and ran a consulting business, and often would experience me sharing a file with someone who would in return share with 10 other people. And my work was getting stolen or overly shared, shall we speak. Same thing would happen with my colleagues. And what I saw in the market in terms of solutions to protect against extensive sharing or theft of information within companies, especially for employees who were departing a company or switching jobs, is so prevalent that people don't even blink an eye. I need to take my work because I'm going to a new job from my last company. That led to this idea, which ultimately became Polymer Data Loss Prevention for SaaS.
Wow, what a great story. I always love when somebody, you know, they have a problem themselves or they have, some type of opportunity area because they're trying to figure out how to solve something. And then a company sprouts from it. And then you look back and you're like, obviously, it's never a smooth path. As entrepreneurs, there's always ups and downs. I have to get clients, I have to get money, all these other things. But to see, like, when you look back, like you solved a problem and you were, you know, a benefit to yourself, and then you can in turn maybe be a benefit to others and also help them along on their journey. So I think it's a great story. How did this idea of entrepreneurship or being an entrepreneur starting a company, like how did that come about? Like, have you always wanted to be an entrepreneur and start a company, or is this something, because you mentioned you're from Wall Street, like where did that come from?
Not at all, actually. The goal graduating from college was 99-2000 era when we had the first internet bubble collapse. Everyone was shying away from startups, and my dream job was to be sitting on a trading desk. And started off in at Bear Stearns as a computer science, as a developer, engineer, and kind of moved up the ranks to get into trading somehow. And was having a fantastic time until situations changed. Obviously, the goal I had set myself up was climbing up the ladder, becoming an MD and making X amount of money and having this kind of bankroll and this kind of life. But then the great financial crisis hit in 2008, where the whole trading paradigm, mortgage industry collapsed, and I wasn't a subprime mortgage trader. That ultimately led to a lot of soul searching in terms of, okay, the world has changed. My thinking of my career path is not true what it used to be even 6 months ago. This is in 2009. What do I do next? I have the opportunity to keep chasing a dream in a market which has completely changed forever, or I start over into something new. And that led to kind of going back into technology and starting a consulting business. And that's kind of where I started learning what real life looks like outside of the constraints of an Excel sheet or a Bloomberg terminal. That ultimately, I saw opportunities which seemed on the surface very easy to implement, learned a lot of hard lessons, got swindled, got cheated, lot of contracts, even after they were signed, got pulled. Lot of hard lessons, which ultimately made me more resilient, and the desire to kind of do something on my own and build something, a lasting business, became even stronger from their experience.
Wow. And similar background we share. So my background's, I'm interested to hear your take on this question. So my background's in finance. I never thought I'd be a media guy. So when you say like you didn't expect this path, same here. Like I never thought I'd be in media or doing podcasts. That was never the plan. I didn't go to school for that. I started at my first firm when I was 16, working in the IRA department of a Raymond James branch in Michigan. And so, like, I thought I was going to be a finance guy through. And then, you know, some things changed and I decided to go the media route. But I'm interested, and I know that, like, what my financial background has meant to operating and running a media company and some of the benefits, it's given me a different vantage point. I'm curious to hear your answer on this question. So, how is your finance background? Like, how's that relevant to what you're doing in information security? Like, how does that help?
Yeah, no, excellent question. And I see a lot of similarities in terms of when you're thinking about risk management, managing a portfolio of equities, stocks or bonds or derivatives or commodities, for example. One of the most important concepts you learn very early on in that journey is humbled by the markets, humbled by the uncertainty out there. There is never a zero or one. It's usually some shades of gray around how protected your position is or what are the chances of making money on a trade. The similar analogy can be applied to information security, where the world might look at security protection as I'm fully secure or I'm not. And that's how a lot of information security buying process currently even looks like in terms of looking at, yes, I'm protected or I'm not protected. However, in reality, companies do get breached. There are ransomwares. Employees are basically getting swindled out of their credentials or being kind of paid money to leak out secrets out of a company to external organizations. All the time we hear it. And so there is a lot of uncertainty, which is not different than what you see on a day-to-day in a stock market. Some event happening in Ukraine could wipe down your position by 90% in a day. Same thing is true for information security. So you're working with a lot of uncertainty from external factors and your internal teams or internal factors also. And creating resiliency or reducing the blast radius, if something does go wrong, I own a position of, let's say, Google, but on the other side, I am hedging it with, for example, a Microsoft position. If one tech company goes down, the other one, that other position has could maybe go up in value to reduce some of the exposure from being long a position. And that similar thing can be applied in information security also, that if one point of control fails, can my overall system be protected? And that's kind of a biggest lesson which I learned in terms of building this information security product at Polymer.
What are some of the, and that's great. Thank you for the background on that. And I see it. And like once, and you know, as I was preparing for this interview, like I get it and I see how everything translates, but I'm curious to hear, in your research when you were out there, and this isn't to pick on other companies or on other things. Obviously, we know people try to do good work, but there was obviously, as you mentioned when we started this interview, that, you know, you found the market kind of lacking in what you were looking for. What are some of the current shortcomings, if you will, of like current data loss prevention platforms? And again, we don't have to pick on anyone specific, but I just mean in general, like what were some of the shortcomings that led you to this?
I mean, you know, all of this is obviously backward looking. So
yeah,
it might
of course
out as very smooth, but there is a lot of jagged edges and a lot of lost opportunities.
As every entrepreneur experiences. So you're in good company. Go ahead.
Okay. Got it. But the one thing, the big evolution which has taken place in technology has been moving from on-prem solutions where all your servers are sitting in your second floor and your business is running on the third floor, for example, and the firewalls can be literally, like, you can lock them down, and that if anything wants to share something with an email, you might get an alert as an information security professional that, hey, someone is sending a file. Are you okay with this or not? So that worked great in a very closed environment where everything was under your purview or your systems, your processes, your hardware also. But when the last 5 years, we saw this big jump into the cloud and virtual workloads, over Amazon or Google or other cloud providers, and the adoption of products like SaaS, software as a service, where you're running your Microsoft Excel on O365, for example, not necessarily on a desktop install of Microsoft Excel, or doing a chat on Teams, for example, or Slack or Google Drive. So the patterns of how work is being done has also evolved, and what existing providers of data loss prevention software have not caught up to the processes around how employees are sharing information or talking to each other, collaborating on a document. That whole process has changed, and the legacy solution provider just are not catered enough or have not been built on a modern tech architecture to be able to reduce the risk of data being stolen or leaking from these modern collaborative workflows or SaaS platforms. And that's kind of the, just by virtue of starting this business with a modern tech stack and understanding kind of how work is being done from the grounds up, building a platform to cater to that use cases allows us the luxury to really solve that problem with fresh pair of eyes.
What are the types of businesses that you find get the most value out of working with you and your team and the platform? Is this an enterprise solution, middle market, can small benefits, like what are small businesses, are they part of this? Like who's typically a good fit?
Usually the very large enterprises and mid-sized businesses. And mid-sized businesses, it could be a small business also, up to 100 employees. Mm-hmm. Generally, wherever you have people in the current environment, because of remote work, because of a lot of turnover in your workforce also,
yeah.
Even 50% operation, we have customers as little as 10 people companies and as large as 35,000 employee companies.
Mm.
So it traverses the gamut of company sizes. In terms of industries, we find that any organization which is B2C or dealing with customer data usually has some skin in the game to protect that customer data, mm-hmm. or at least have some pair of eyes or a big brother watching over their data, so at least employees know that there is some sort of a guardrails around how they're using these systems. Usually benefit the most from our solution.
That's awesome. Yasser, first off, it's been great having you on the show and kind of getting a peek behind the scenes of what you do and also your entrepreneurial journey and how you've decided to, you know, go out there and make a difference in the world. If somebody's listening to this and they want to learn more or they want to connect with you and your team to learn more about the solution, I mean, what's the best way for them to do that?
Easiest way would be on our website, polymerhq.io, or you can drop me a line.
Fantastic. And for the audience, we'll put all that information in the show notes so that you can just click on the link and head right on over. And speaking of the audience, if this is your first time listening to a Mission Matters episode or connecting with the platform, we're all about bringing on mission-based entrepreneurs, executives, and experts and having them share their mission, why they do what they do, how they're doing it, and really what we can all learn from that so we can all grow together. If that's the type of content that sounds interesting or fun or exciting to you, we welcome you. Hit that subscribe button. We have many more mission-based individuals coming up on the line, and we don't want you to miss a thing. Yasser, really, it's been a pleasure. Thanks again for coming on the show.
Thanks so much for having me, Adam. This was a lot of fun.